I miss Larry King. But years ago, Larry was asked this question. If you could interview anyone in history, and if you could ask that person one question, who would it be? His reply was, it would be Jesus Christ, and I would ask him, did you really rise from the dead? Because if you did, then that changes everything. And we've been preaching about a new day, and I want to talk to you today along the lines of what makes it a new day. Why is it a new day? I'm going to tell you, Larry King is smart enough to have the right person and to ask the right question. And people today are still asking, who is Jesus Christ? So as we preach this resurrection message today, I want to talk to you along the lines of why resurrection means it's a new day, why it changes everything. Before we read the scripture, let's define the word resurrection. Jesus made declarations about the resurrection, and the very word resurrection simply means this: to stand up again, to come back to life, or a recovery of truth. God wants to stand us on our feet. Almighty God wants to bring us back to life, and Almighty God wants to give you and I a recovery of truth. So I want to draw your attention to a very prominent story in Scripture. And it's the story of Lazarus. Now, if you're familiar with the Bible, as I'm sure most of you are, you understand that the story of Lazarus was a story of a man who died, who was buried in a tomb, and Jesus Christ called him to life. So I want to pick up that story in the Gospel of John chapter 11, where the Scripture tells us this. Martha, who was Lazarus' sister, she was telling the Lord that if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus responded to that by saying that your brother will rise again. Martha's response to that was, well, I know that he will rise again at the last day. They understood something about resurrection. You see, the Bible teaches us that every single person will one day be called out of the grave. John's Gospel chapter 6 tells us that there's going to be a day when all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and they will come forth. Some will come forth to life and some will come forth to judgment. So they knew and understood that there was a resurrection and that that would happen at the end of time. But in response to Martha's reasoning along those lines of a last day resurrection at the end of time, Jesus gives us this statement, speaks this into her life in John chapter 11 and verse 25. When Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet he will live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And Martha responded, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Now, I want you to take note of that story. Keep it in your memory. And I want to draw your attention over to the book of Colossians chapter 3, where we read these words. In Colossians 3, verse 1, it says, if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, we take the story of Lazarus that Jesus called back to life, and we read these passages of Scripture here in Colossians 3, spoken specifically to believers who are born again Christians, those who have been converted, those who have been saved and born again. And he tells us that if we are risen with Christ, that we are to set our affection not on things on this earth, but on things above. In other words, we have a totally different perspective. Now, I want you to think of the story of Lazarus, and I want you to think of these verses that we read here in Colossians, and I want you to zero in on the power of resurrection. Because, as Larry King said, if he did rise from the dead, then that changes everything. And I want to give you four dynamics today of why that changes everything. How many of you realize that our whole world is full of walking dead people? They are living, but they're really not alive. Because the only ones that are really alive are those who have been called out of the grave. They have been called out of the muck and the mire of life. And they have been infused with a divine nature that comes from Almighty God Himself, that only comes through a resurrected Savior. This is what sets Christ apart from every religious person, every religious leader, down through the corridor of history. None of them ever rose from the dead. But Jesus did. Now, Lazarus, see, here's the difference. You may be wondering, well, if Lazarus was raised from the dead, what was the difference? See, Lazarus was called back to life in the life that he knew before, because he was still on this earth. But Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and he was called into a totally different and new life. Because he was not called back to his earthly life or his earthly ministry. He was called into an eternal existence, an immortality, into a position of power and authority. And that's why he stood and said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth." And that's why he told his followers, "Go and preach the gospel around the entire world." See, resurrection is awesome. So I want us to zero in on this concept, this principle of resurrection. And four dynamics that are life-changing of why the resurrection means a new day, of why the resurrection changes everything. First of all, resurrection means renewed life in God's favor. When you come out of dead living, you come into a new existence. You come into a new life. You come into the Christ life. No longer living a dead life. No longer living in the things of this world. You now have a renewed life, and that life is in God's favor. Now, we think of favor. I'm a big T.D. Jakes fan, and T.D. Jakes, Bishop Jakes, has a sermon entitled "Favor Ain't Fair," and I tell you that's a true statement. Favor ain't fair, you know. And we look at favor and we think that, you know, well, if we got money in the bank, if we drive a nice car, got a nice home to live in, you know, we have health in our bodies, then we're walking in favor. And all of those things are part of God's favor and blessing. But the favor that I'm talking about goes way beyond the things that we experience here on this earth, in this world. The favor that I'm talking about is rooted and grounded in the life of Jesus Christ. Because the favor of the Father, listen to this, the favor of God the Father is always on His Son, Jesus Christ. And if you and I are in Christ, then we are in favor. Because how many of you know you could lose your money tomorrow? Come on, somebody. Bank could come get your car if you don't pay for the note, right? Come on. I mean, you could have health issues tomorrow. But when you have the real favor of God, see, the favor of God is always on Christ. And if Christ is in you as a believer, greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. If Christ is in you, then the favor of God is always on his son. And listen, you could lose everything in this life, but you can't lose your favor. Come on, somebody. Amen. Because his favor is always, always on his son. See, the favor of God means this, that God is in the heart and the evidence is in your life. If Christ is on the throne of your heart, then your life is going to demonstrate his life. That doesn't mean you're perfect. Once I thought I was perfect, but I was mistaken. Come on, I saw a bumper sticker that said that. Yeah, listen, when you're in the favor of God, that means that Christ is in your heart. Christ is enthroned in your heart, and your lifestyle, how you live your life from Monday through Saturday, reflects what's going on in your life. It doesn't mean that you don't have struggles. Come on, somebody. It doesn't mean that you've overcome every sin in your life, every lust issue, whatever your problem, your area of struggle may be. It doesn't mean that you have gained total victory over those things as of yet, but there is a process that is going on in your life because the favor of God is on his son and Christ is being formed in your heart. And the character formation is a work in process. He's not finished yet. That's why I always declare, and when I go to God in prayer, I declare Philippians 1:6. You know what Philippians 1:6 says? Being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So in other words, he's still working it out. He's not finished. He's still working it out. Proverbs says this, a righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets up again. Why? Because Christ is in his heart. And there is a process. The favor is still there. See, that favor of God is the result of resurrection power. The favor of God means I am no longer a son of Adam. I am now a son of God. You see, to be a son of Adam means that you live for yourself. It means your life is rooted in selfishness. There's no character formation because you're not worried about anybody else. If you're a son of Adam, all you are worried about is me, myself, and I. Oh, now, that's some good preaching right there. Right? And all of us were there. But when Jesus Christ comes into our heart, see, all of a sudden there is a character formation that begins to take place. It doesn't happen overnight. You don't change overnight. It is a process, but it is resurrection. You see, there's favor now because Christ is in your heart, and the favor of the Father is always on his son. That's why when Jesus was baptized by John and he came up out of the water and the voice from heaven spoke, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. See, that's the favor. It's resurrection power. The favor of God means I'm no longer a son of Adam. I am now a son of God. Adam's sin-infested life died at the cross. But I have an infused life that I have inherited from the Son of God. And that infused life, my friend, is supernatural. Oh, hallelujah. So he's still working it out. See, that favor is there. You could lose everything in this world. Job illustrated that. Job was so blessed. He had all of the favor of God, and then overnight it was all gone. But the amazing thing about it, Job never lost his favor. He couldn't see it at the time, but he never lost it because God was still protecting his life. God was still working. He could not see God working in his life, but God never stopped working. I believe that Job had a revelation of resurrection power because when he was encouraged by his friends, even encouraged by his wife, you fool, curse God and die. He is against you. You know what Job's response to that was? I know that my God, I feel the Holy Ghost now. I know that my Redeemer lives and that he is going to stand on the last day on the face of this earth. He had a revelation of resurrection because there was favor. See, resurrection means to stand up again, to come back to life, a recovery of truth. Resurrection means that there is a renewed life in God's favor. You can never, as a child of God, you can never lose your favor. Because Jesus Christ is that favor. See, he will never stop being God's son. He will never stop being the Son of God. So if the Son of God lives within us, again, 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. He never falls out of favor, my friend. He never, never falls out of the favor. The favor of God is always on him. And that's why John said, greater is he who is in you, greater is he who is in you, greater is he who is in you than he, that is the devil, who is in the world. The old devil's in the world. He's working in the world. His spirit has influenced the world. People are bound by his slavery, bound by his tactics, enslaved by various lusts, if it's sex, drugs, alcohol, money, whatever it may be. He uses the same old things every generation. Same old lie, same old ploy, same old deception. But Jesus Christ conquered all of that. He never sinned. He never disobeyed God, and that's what made him the ultimate perfect sacrifice. See, and he gives you and I a renewed life, and that renewed life is in God's favor. See, this is resurrection. This is a dynamic of resurrection power. I don't live the way I used to live because I have resurrection power. I don't do what I used to do because I have resurrection power. I don't go where I used to go because I have resurrection power. And that favor, I walk in favor. Because the favor of God is on Christ, and Christ is in me. So I'm in favor today. If you're in Christ, you're in favor today. Nobody can take your favor. All right, I got four to give you. Let's go to number two. I like this one. Resurrection means that there is a position at the table. Now, let's visit our story in the Gospel of John, because the Scripture teaches us in this story, Jesus made this claim, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. And Jesus goes to the tomb in verse 38 and 39, and he instructs him, take away the stone. And the Scripture says that Jesus called Lazarus out. One of the Bible commentators, Bible theologian, made this notation, that when Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, that he had to be very specific and he had to call Lazarus by name. Because if he had just said, all of the dead come forth, that every grave would have popped open and every person in that cemetery, every body, every corpse in that cemetery would come back to life. So he had to be very specific. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And the Scripture tells us that he came forth bound in grave clothes. So Jesus gives instruction. He says, unwrap him. Take off those grave clothes. Loose him from that bondage. See, that's a dead existence that he was called out of. Now, what I want you to see is this, that after this awesome, incredible resurrection, Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. I have the power to speak life. I have the power of creation. I have the power to call people out of deadness and into life. Thank God. Oh, I thank God every day that in 1976 that God called me out of a tomb, out of death, out of all of the junk that I was involved in. As a teenager, God called my name, and I came out of darkness. And my friend, every one of us should be able to pinpoint a time in our life where the voice of the Lord called us out of the grave, called us out of the tomb, called us out of dead existence. If you cannot pinpoint a time in your life, then this could be your moment right here today. You could hear his voice calling you out before this meeting is over. You can open your heart to Jesus Christ and commit your life to the Lord And you will hear his voice, and he will call you out of that darkness into the glorious life that he has promised to every one of us. Resurrection. He'll resurrect you right now out of your deadness, out of your tomb, out of your grave clothes, out of all of the junk that may be going on in your life, all of the failure, all the disappointment, all the heartache, all the pain, whatever it is. When you hear his voice, you're going to live. Because that's the dynamic of resurrection authority. That's why it changes everything. That's why it means a new day. So then we read this in John's Gospel, chapter 12, after Jesus called Lazarus out of the grave in verse 44. He came out and he said, loose him and let him go. And then we go to John's Gospel, chapter 12. And in verse 1, it says, then there were 6 days before Passover, and Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead. I love where the scripture notes that. Who had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. If this would have been in modern times, CNN would have been there. MSNBC would have been there. Fox News would have been there. Come on, somebody. Amen. Everybody would have wanted the story. National Enquirer. I used to love seeing the National Enquirer headlines when Elvis died. Y'all remember when Elvis died back in 1977? They had all these crazy headlines on their magazine. One that really stood out to me was this, that there is a beam that is coming down from heaven that says, I'm all shook up. Yeah, crazy stuff like that. Yeah, I bet he was shook up. All right. All right, this is what we read in John chapter 12. Says Jesus is coming into Bethany. Lazarus is there. And then in verse 2 it says, there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. This is our second resurrection dynamic right here. That resurrection means that there is a position at the table. Now, the New American Standard Bible says that Lazarus was reclining at the table. He was reclining at the table. But I want you to notice the scripture is teaching us that Jesus is there and Lazarus is with Jesus. Wherever Jesus was, Lazarus went. See, that's what followers do. When you become a follower of Christ, wherever Jesus goes, you're going after him. If Jesus is in the house of God, then we get to the house of God. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm preaching now, hallelujah. Right? Yeah, wherever Jesus is, then we're going to follow. Lazarus could not be separated. He was not giving interviews. He was not sitting down for Charisma Magazine to give his story. No, no, no. He didn't have time to toy with such stuff. When you are raised from the dead, you don't have time for those insignificant things. You're now ready to make an investment. You're ready because you are alive. You are ready to do something for the kingdom of God. Because resurrection means, man, I have a new position. I am seated at the table. Now check this out. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 alludes to this same exact truth, that we have been granted a position at the table. So in Ephesians chapter 2, we read this in verse 5 and 6. He says, even when we were dead in trespasses, that he made us alive together with Christ. And by grace you have been saved. And he has, listen to this, he has raised us up together. And he has made us sit together. He has made us to sit at his table. Now, I'll tell you someone else that had a revelation of that. Think of the psalmist David. The most well-known psalm in all of the Bible is Psalms what? Some of y'all thought, oh, that's a Bible question. I better not take a chance. I might not give the right answer. Most well-known psalm in all of the Bible is what? Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd's psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He prepares a what? My God, help us to get this today. He prepares a table for me. Oh, my. I have a position. Resurrection means there is a position at the table. Now, the mockers of your life may say, oh, wait a minute. That person is an adulterer. God says, not anymore. He's out of the tomb. Now, the mockers may say, that person is a drug addict, but God says, not anymore. I have called him out of the tomb. Well, the mocker may say, he is a perverted sex addict, but God says, not anymore. Come on, somebody, because I have called, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. I have called him out. Oh, hallelujah. And he has given us. Can I get excited today? This is Easter. Man, we're here to rejoice and celebrate. See, I was a dead man. If you've never experienced it, then these words probably don't mean much to you. But if you've come out of something, if you came out of something, God delivered you and set you free, then this is hitting a real nerve with you, because you really know what I'm talking about. But if there are some that may not have experienced that, then this is your moment right now, because you might still be in your mess. You might still be in your dilemma. You might still be bound by all of those things. And God says, I call you out. The resurrection dynamic is that I give you a position. I have a position. I have a place at the table. Oh, hallelujah. God says, he is mine, and I have called him forth. He is now my son. She is now my daughter. I have called them out. Oh, thank God. See, these are life-changing dynamics. This is why the resurrection changes everything. Everything. That's why there's no other religion that can save you. There's no other, nobody can give you this kind of storyline, this kind of dynamic. See, all of the false religions of the world, they are trying to appease their God. They're trying to make their life acceptable. They'll die, you know, for their God. They'll do all of these things, you know, because they think that that is going to grant them acceptance. But in the realm of our faith, our God died for us. Did you catch that? God died for us. Mary, when she had his resurrection, what was her words? My God and my Savior. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, she caught the revelation of the resurrection. Now, here's the third thing. See, resurrection, the third dynamic means I'm not going back anymore. He that the Son has set free is free indeed. See, the life that we have overcome, you know, no longer possesses us, no longer controls us. The deadness that was within us now has been overtaken by life. There is a powerful dynamic that is at work within us because Jesus Christ is living within. And when Jesus Christ is within, that resurrection power, it means I'm not going back. Hallelujah. I'm not returning. I love this story in the Gospel of Luke chapter 17. Because in Luke's Gospel chapter 17, Jesus gives us an example that once you are called forth, you cannot go. He is telling us the story of the end of the age, that there's coming a day when history as we know it is going to wrap up. The world as we know it is going to end. It's going to one day be over. And I believe it's sooner than most people realize. It's closer than most people think. And Jesus was teaching along these very lines. And he said, know this, before the second coming of the Son of Man, he said it's going to be just like it was in the days of Noah. He says, know this, just like it was in the days of Lot. He said, before I come back the second time to set up my kingdom, he said, it's going to be just like that. My friend, we could see all of the signs. And he was giving his followers instructions. And he gave them this word in verse 32. This is Luke 17:32. And he said, remember Lot's wife. Y'all been watching the Bible series on Sunday nights? Tonight's the last one, last segment. They say it's real powerful, going to be real powerful tonight. But they had that scene, you know, where the angels went, God's messengers told Lot, he said, you got to get out of this place. The sin of Sodom has gone up before the Lord. God's going to destroy this place. He said, get out of here, get your family, and don't look back. Well, see, a lot of times, it's that glance that gets us. Wait, did she just look at me? Oh, come on, somebody. Look at the six-pack on that dude. See, I got to hit y'all ladies here. Yeah. Maybe better leave that one alone. But whatever it may be that you're looking back at, you might be in a relationship. God say, oh, man, that's a dead thing. You need to get out. Y'all know I like to, oh, but he's so fine. but she's so fine. What kind of character is there? See, it might be. Are y'all still with me? Come on, somebody. Yeah. See, resurrection means I'm not going back. Whatever our tomb existence was, whatever, if it might have been a bad relationship, it might have been drugs, it might have been alcohol. Listen, whatever it may have been, when you get resurrection dynamic working in your life, there is something that is moving inside of you that God has called you to life. He has called you out of the darkness of the tomb, and that is the last place that you ever want to go back to. You never want to go back to that place because you know what dead living is all about. And resurrection means I am not going back to that. And the devil might be dangling it before you every single day because he's always, he's in the dangling business. Hello, somebody. He's always dangling something. That should be a biblical name. We call him Slewfoot. We call him Deceiver. We should call him Dangler. Because he's always dangling something, trying to get us into his trap. That's why Peter said, oh, be on your guard, because the devil is like a roaring lion. He's walking to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking whom he may devour. He's trying to get somebody that'll take his trap. But see, when you come out, man, when you come out of the grave, when you come out of the tomb, man, all the guys that I used to hang around with, and I tell you, you know, so many of them died young men in their graves. And I struggle with that at times because I always look at that and I say, God, maybe I could have saved them. I don't understand why you rescued me. I'm so glad and thankful that you did. But I don't understand why you rescued me, and so many of my friends have perished, died young men. I went to a funeral service for friend of mine that I knew as a teenager. He died. He was so strung out on heroin, and he had developed tuberculosis. And his last days, from what I understand, he died a horrible, horrible death. And he was only 43 years of age, you know, and died. One of my first cousins, after Hurricane Katrina, he got all of this money from FEMA, and he just went crazy. He was always struggling with drug addictions, and he got all this money. You know, after Katrina, you know, we got a lot of money, right? $2,000 from the Red Cross. Come on, somebody. Right? They asked me, say, you want to be on food stamps? I said, yeah. I said, look, all the taxes I paid? I said, I'm just taking some back, praise God. I'd never been on food stamps in all my life. Never been unemployed in all my life. And all of a sudden, you know, you go register for FEMA. You need this. Are you giving it? Okay, I'll take it for now till we get back on our feet. Come on, somebody, right? But my first cousin got all that money, man, and he was so bound by drugs, died at 42 years of age. Got some bad stuff. You know, they're putting so much junk in those drugs today. You don't know what you're sniffing. You don't know what you're putting in your body because there's so much, man. You know, that dead existence, you know, listen, I came out of all of that it. And I look back and I was like, God, could I have rescued some of them? I have a good friend of mine was killed at 16 years of age. He had done somebody, of course, we were always doing people wrong back in the day where I grew up. But he had ripped somebody off and then was hitchhiking on the highway. And that person that he had ripped off just so happened to be passing him in a car, pulled the car over, shot him in the highway, killed him right there on the spot. 16 years of age, or 18 years of age, excuse me. 18 years of age. See, man, there's a lot of tomb living out there. There's a lot of dead existence. And, man, I tell you, I look at it and I'm like, God, I'll never go back. When I got saved, when I got born again, it was a fight. I mean, it was a battle. I was literally fighting the forces of darkness that were contending for my soul. I used to get up in the morning, 6 o'clock. I said, I got to do something. I started studying the book of Revelation. Everybody was saying, oh, you don't need to study that. I said, hey, it may not work for you, but it's working for me because it's scaring the devil out of my life. I'll tell you that right now. Amen. I got up 6 in the morning, started to pray every day. Then went to high school, started witnessing to people. Going to the office, I'd slap Jesus Saved stickers on the office door. Disciplinarian come in, tear that stuff down. Boy, who do you think you are? I said, Jesus saves. You need to be saved. I'm Catholic. Jesus saves. You need to be saved. Hey, listen, you guys, when it does, none of that really matter. When we get to heaven and we stand before God, He's only going to want to know one thing. Do you have my Son in your life? Is there the Passover, oh my God, is there the Passover blood on your heart? Because that's the only thing that's going to matter. Oh, there's going to be people that are going to say, well, Lord, I was a Baptist. Listen, Jesus said there's going to be many in that day going to say, Lord, Lord, there's going to be Pentecostals. Lord, Lord, we cast out demons in your name. God's going to say, well, there's only one problem. You didn't know Jesus. Come on, somebody. Amen. Listen, this tomb thing, man, is real. Let me give you the fourth and final one right here. We're going to close. Here's the fourth and final one. And I'm warmed up now. I wish I had a third service. Because by the third service, man, I'm going to really have this down. All right, here's the fourth thing. Resurrection means that I have changed my clothes. Y'all look so good today. I even got out my new shoes. Said they nice. Been sitting in the closet for a year. Now, how many of you know that's when you're blessed? I got new shoes sitting in the closet, didn't even wear them. I said, today's Easter. I said, I'm going to wear these right here. They look Eastery. They do, because they're brand new. So all of us have dressed ourselves well this morning. But I want to end with this one right here. See, resurrection means I've changed my clothes. We're not talking about our outward garments. We're not talking about the dress that we have, our apparel that we have clothed ourselves with today. Thank God nobody showed up naked. That draw a crowd. Come on, somebody. Man, you ought to go to that church, see what's going on. Woo! And then there came the police and shut this thing down. Vice squad and everything. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, listen to this, man. I love this story, the story of the prodigal son. We all know this story. Bible tells us that there were two boys, and the youngest one wanted to get his inheritance from his father. And the scripture says that he went out and he wasted it in riotous living. Can I put that in the original? Can I just use a little street slang? I'll make sure I don't have religious people with me today. All right, because this is what it really means. He went and wasted it with whores. I shouldn't have said that. That just don't sound good. But how many of you realize God in His Word, He don't paint pretty pictures, because He faces us. He brings the truth. He wants us to face truth. And he wasted his, Yeah, that's literally what the scripture teaches us. The New King James says prostitutes. All right, let's just say he was hanging with too many loose women that got all of his money. Then he found himself broke. Some of you guys been there. I know it. Come on, somebody. Right? Before Jesus, let's establish it. Before Jesus, man, I'm so glad. At 17, I almost got a tattoo. I'm serious. At 17, I almost got a tattoo. And it was going to be a tattoo of a girl. And I am so glad. Because my wife would have had me in laser surgery. Burning that thing off. I said, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I didn't go through with it. Let me bring this back where we are here today. So this son demands his inheritance. And the scripture says that he went out and wasted his money. And then he finds himself feeding the pigs in a terrible predicament. And the scripture says something amazing. He came to himself. You know what that means? He had a wait a minute moment. Can you imagine that? He's sharing a meal with the pigs. You know, I never had to eat this before, but yeah, it's not too bad. So he's in there in the pig pen. And then he took a step back and he said, wait a minute. My father. He said, wait a minute. I know who I am. This is not my future. This is not my destiny. He said, I'm going back to my house. I'm going to go to my father. I'm going to say, Father, please forgive me. Receive me back. Make me as one of your hired servants. I'll do whatever. He had that wait a minute moment. So he goes running back to his father. And what does his father do? We know it's a picture of God receiving us unto himself. And what is the picture? What do we see? God, Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 22. The father said to his servants, he said, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, sandals on his feet, because this my boy has come home. Put on him a robe. Oh, my God. He came out of dead living. He got out of the tomb. And the father said, put some new clothes on him because he's not dead anymore. I love what Isaiah 61:10 says. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God because he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness. Like a bridegroom decking himself with ornaments and as a bride adorning herself with jewels. This is what God does. He changes our clothes because we have a real identity, and that identity is not found in a dead life, but it's found when you step into the resurrection power and authority of Jesus Christ. And that, my friend, changes everything.